Horeb Baptist Church, a church on the way to God's heart, presents a message for your life. Get ready and take notes, because God wants to speak to you today. And now, Pastor David Rodriguez.
I went to my mom and said, "We're going to put out the invitations throughout the neighborhood." She's like, "Oh, no, you're not. You've been punished, remember?" And I'm like, "But Mama, it's not my birthday. It's his, you know. Kind of got to help him put out the invitation." She said, "No." And I'm like, "Oh, come on." She said, "I know what you're going to do. You're going to go out the back door and get your bike, and you're going to go out there. But I'm telling you, I'm going to beat you up if you do that." And I said, "Whatever." So I went out the front door. I didn't grab my bike. But since my friend's bike had a banana seat, remember those? We could both fit in there. So I sat on the back, and I said, "My mama didn't say anything about going on your bike anyway. You see, me and my reasoning always wrong anyway." And we take off. And let me tell you, we lived on a hill. And we were only the third house up the hill. The third house. We take off. And we didn't even go but three houses down to the corner, because, of course, I had the phone in my hand saying, "We're going to so-and-so's house." The back of the bike, you know, it was a plastic phone that we tied to the bike, okay? It wasn't a cell phone. I know I look young, but not that young. But I grabbed the little plastic phone. I'm like, "We're going to so-and-so's house." And as soon as I dropped the little phone, put it back up here, three houses, we get hit by a car coming 40 miles an hour. Sideswiped. I flew up in the air, fell on the hood. And my sister was sitting in the balcony. And when she saw that, she went running inside to my mom. "David got run over by a car." Guess what my mama did? My mom's a superhero, bro. She came down the hill running barefoot with an umbrella in hand. She said, "I'm going to beat somebody up." Guess who she beat up? Not the driver, not my friend. She beat the living you-know-what out of me. Bam! Bam! Here I am, almost a busted knee. It's all swollen. And I'm like, I know. My mom beat me three houses up the hill. And then called up on the neighbor and said, "Let's go to the hospital." And she was at the hospital pinching me, pulling my ear. Man, somebody should have called family services, bro. But anyway, that was another story. Let's go back to the original story. 10-year-old boy wants to put out his invitations, and he's all happy. He puts them all out, and the day of his birthday, all of his little good friends show up, and everybody's so excited. They all bring their little gifts, you know, because they're good friends, and he's excited. They go out and play football and the whole afternoon, and then mama starts baking a cake. Daddy pulls out the grill, and he starts grilling dogs and burgers. They're having a great time. They eat it all up. They just went down on that frosting and took it all. Oh, my God, these kids. But the best thing about it, then comes the gifts, right? He opens up all the gifts. But yet, the even better thing about it is that he has a gift for all of his friends' guests. All of them. He bought tickets to the high school basketball game. A quarter apiece. He bought a ticket for all of them. Then they get in daddy's station wagon. Nobody drives those anymore, right? But they get in daddy's station wagon, and they drive all the way to the gymnasium. And when they get there, they buy popcorn. They go in. I mean, this is the best day of a 10-year-old's life, right? But then something happens in the gym. Amidst all the popcorn flying and people yelling and screaming and everything, all of his friends disappeared. "Oh, there's my cousin. I'm going to go sit with him. Oh, there's my friends. I'm going to go sit with them." And he finds himself all alone. You see, I wonder if that's God's experience when we come to worship. If he feels all alone, and all of a sudden people leave like nothing happened, without any conscience of our insensibility, you know, convinced that we just complied with an obligation. We came to church on Sunday. especially after a so-called hurricane, right? Wow. Is it possible to worship in vain? The Bible says so. The Bible talks about that. Matthew chapter 15, verses 8 and 9. He says, these people honor me with their lips, but their heart is far away from me. Now check it out. But in vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the precepts of men. Worshiping in vain. Is it possible? Yes, it is. Jesus said it. Just lip service. That's all. No heart into it. That is sad. But then, if that is the case, then what do we do in order for our worship to become what it's supposed to be? Now, I'm going to give you a few verses I want to read. First, Ed read in Psalm 95, verse 6. But let me read. That's good. Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker. See the attitude there? Let us kneel. Let us worship. We're before him. You have to approach him. Now, give me Matthew chapter 4. Then Jesus said to him, go, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God and serve him only. See, just him. There's this concept about worship. It just belongs to one person, that is God. Not only that, you ought to serve him. You ought to kneel, bow down. There's got to be a sense of humility. All that stuff, and I'm getting ahead of my sermon here. So let's just stop there. John chapter 4, verse 23 and 24. But an hour is coming, and now is when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For such people, the Father seeks to be his worshipers. That's what God is looking for. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. Wow. What important verses. Let's pray for a second. Father, bless your word as it flows out of the lips of your servant. Lord, help me that my heart be in tune with your heart this morning as I communicate your truth. And help us understand, help us to abide by your truth, that we may become true worshipers who worship in spirit and in truth. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, you know, we've been talking about spiritual disciplines, and we've talked about the discipline of going out there and telling people evangelism. We talked about Bible intake. We talked about prayer. We talked about different ones, right? Now, today, of course, we're talking about the discipline of worship. But what is worship? See, worship may be a little difficult to define in some sense, because we look for different words to put in there and things. But instead of defining it with words first, let's look at it first. Let's see it in action as we look at the Bible. First of all, John chapter 20, verse 28. What happened here? Jesus shows up, you know, and the disciples, this is after his resurrection, and everybody's just like, what in the world just happened here, right? They're kind of lost. They're just thinking, man, he's not in the tomb. He said he would resurrect, but what is going on? All of a sudden, Jesus shows up in the room. And one of them, of course, had been doubting, right? Thomas, the doubter. Jesus said, you know, you don't believe? Look at my hands. Look at my feet. You want to put your hand in here on my side? And Thomas then answers, my Lord and my God. See, the revelation. All of a sudden, when Thomas's eyes are open. Now, a lot of us are always criticizing Thomas, because faith is supposed to be believing without seeing. And he had to see to believe. Well, guess what? We need our eyes open too, right? Once in a while, you'll be like, oh, I won't believe until I see it. Have you ever said that? Yes, you have. Yes, I have. Yes, we have. And sometimes we need that extra push. And God is so wonderful, and he's so gracious that he did it for Thomas to show us, you know what? I do whatever it takes to reveal myself to you in order for you to be able to believe and be able to proclaim that I am your Lord and I am your God for your sake. Wow. What an amazing thing that he would go whatever length he has to go in order for us to understand and to be able to see him revealed into our hearts and minds. So I'm getting ahead of myself again. Revelation chapter 4 and verse 8. Look at this. This is in the heavens. And the four living creatures, each one of them having six wings and full of eyes around and within. And day and night, look, day and night, they do not cease to say, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God, the Almighty, who was and who is to come. We sing this all the time, right? Carrie Job. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. By the way, she's going to be in concert in town here in a couple of weeks. Not, you know, it's a public announcement. Huh? Not paid, by the way. Now, but if we go a little bit further, in that same chapter, chapter 4 and verse 11, look at this. Let's go to verse 11 and chapter 4, Revelation, for a second. Worthy are you, O Lord and our God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and because of your will, they existed and were created. Now, I want you to notice something. First of all, when we saw in verse 8 was a reflection of the revelation of God's character. God is holy. The first thing that they were saying is, holy, holy, holy. Oh my God, he's so holy. He's holy, 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 holy. You see, the God's character being revealed to them. So they see him as he is, and he is holy. Then his works. You created all things, and because of your will, they existed and were created. All of a sudden, we're looking at God's creation, his actions, what he does, his power, and all of that. But it's amazing. Now look at Revelation chapter 5 and verse 12. The Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing. Now, the next verse. And every created thing which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth, on the sea, and all the things in them, I heard saying, to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and dominion forever and ever. This is the fulfillment of the word that Paul gave us in Philippians chapter 2 when he said, and every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Boom. Everything and anything that has breath, praise the Lord. Wow. God is so amazing. So when you think about it, you see, we're talking about focusing on God. The focus is on God. If you want to talk about worship, then you need to think focus. And the focus needs to be on God and God alone. Now, when we worship God and we focus on him, we will then see him. The problem a lot of times is that we're looking to God to reveal himself to us, but we're not paying attention, right? We're not focusing on him. So we need to be focused. The more we focus on God, the more we understand and appreciate how worthy he is. That's the thing. The more we focus on him, the more we're going to understand and appreciate how worthy he is. See, we're talking about attributing God, giving God the proper worth to magnify his greatness, to recognize that he and only he is worthy to be praised, to come before him and to actually approach him, because he sits on a throne, but he sits on a throne of what? Grace. What an amazing thing that the God of the universe sits on the throne, but he is still approachable because his throne is a throne of grace, thanks to the work of his son, Jesus Christ. So we can come him. Now we come before him with fear and trembling, because he is what? Holy, holy, holy. With reverence we come before him, because he is the Almighty God. He is the creator of the universe. He is the one that sustains everything that exists. And we know that he is a sovereign king whom we have to give account at the end of it all. You're going to have to stand before him. I will be standing before him. And I hope we could be... I hope we could stand before him. Probably we'll fall down anyway. Now, I want you to... I see something here, because the more we focus on God, the more we understand and appreciate his worth. Have you ever wanted or longed to see what is worship or praise like in heaven? I mean, I wonder. Sometimes I wish God will open just a little window for us to look for a little bit, right? And to see how worship is in heaven. Wouldn't you like a glimpse of heaven, right? Let me tell you something. That could be cool. But do you know that the angels wish they knew God the way we know him? Did you know that? Let's look at 1 Peter chapter 1. Let's start in verse 10. Check this out. Because sometimes we focus on something, and you know, we may not be seeing the bigger picture here. Look at this. The Apostle Peter is talking about salvation and the greatness of salvation. As to this salvation, the prophets who prophesied of the grace that would come to you made careful searches and inquiries. He said, you know, this is a big thing, salvation, and everybody was inquiring about it. The prophets were really, really thinking about this deeply. Why? Seeking to know what person or time the Spirit of Christ within them was indicating as predicted the suffering of Christ and the glories to follow. But check this out. Let's just keep going. It was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves, but you. We were the recipients. See, it's like the prophets are looking into all of this salvation thing. He's like, wait a second. This is for mankind. This is for you. This is so awesome. In these things which now have been announced to you through those who preach the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit. Check it out. Sent from heaven. Things into which angels long to look. Angels long to look at what we have received. Salvation. The love of God manifested through his Son in such a powerful and awesome way. He is worthy to be praised. Now, I want you to notice something. See those words there where it says to look, that the angels long to look. There's two ideas conveyed here in the Greek. These little words, long to look, could be interpreted as two different things. One is as if there was let's think about it. Well, around here we know parades, right? But let's just think that we're on a Easter parade, you know? And that you were in the crowd all the way in the back. And if you're like me, you'd probably have to climb over people to be able to see, right? You'd be on your tippy toes trying to look. That's one idea that can be conveyed with that. That word, you see, they're long to look. It's talking about the angels tippy-toeing, like to look over the crowd, like, I want to see this great salvation. Oh, my God. But check it out. Also, this long to look word can be interpreted as stooping down, as the disciples did when they went to the tomb and found that it was empty. The same word. Wow, that's pretty searching and very longing about the angels to want to, boy, I want to see, wait, I want to get over there. So, we're over here longing, oh my God, I want to know like it is to worship in heaven. And here are the angels going, oh my God, I want to go see what this salvation thing is all about and experience it like them. You see how sometimes our focus in worship may not be as clear as it should be. Because you have received something that the angels long for. Wow. I hope that that little thing that I just told you will transform the way you worship for the rest of your life. Wow, that's a lot to ask, right, from those short words. But I really hope and pray. You see, he is worthy. He is worthy of all praise and more. Think about it. He is so awesome. So you focus on him. You focus on him. Now, also, not only you focus on him, but also you respond to him. You respond to him. So I'm looking here because I wanted to give you a definition of worship that I wrote from a book called Worship Heart Cries. Worship Heart Cries by Dr. Ed Steele. You know who he is? He preached here during our big family campaign. You know the older guy? Dr. Steele, the counselor, her husband, remember? Well, he wrote a book called Worship Heart Cries. And he has a definition. And I wrote it somewhere in my notes, and now I can't find it. But I will, I promise. And if I do, I'll find it next week or somehow, some way, sometime today or tomorrow, who knows? And I will give it to you because I want it. Anyway, but let's talk about it. So worship is focusing on God and responding to God. Those are two concepts that are very basic to worship. And that's what I want you to honestly take with you today, that you should focus and you should respond. But when we talk about responding to God, I have a few things that may happen in you, right? You think about minds being transformed when you are listening to the lyrics of the songs, or when you're actually engaging in them and you reflect upon those lyrics and you think, wow, this is for me. Then when the word of God is read from up here, or when you read it out there and you hear the word of God being preached, then all of a sudden it starts working in your mind, right? Then your voices. So your minds are being transformed, hopefully. Then your voices start crying out. That's when you respond and say hallelujah. When you say amen, when you start singing and praising God. But you got to be careful, because you could be singing all you want and you could be not praising and worshiping God. You could be listening to the sermon and worship God. You could be listening to the sermon and not be in a worshipful attitude. You could be listening to me, but you're thinking about something else. And that happens. And that happens. And I know that. And we're not perfect. Our worship is not perfect. Can you think about that? Our worship is not going to be perfect. But we have the potential to make it worthy unto God. Amen? We do. So, you know, you could be right now thinking about this pew is so uncomfortable, you know. You could be thinking about it's hot in here, it's too cold in here. You could be thinking about, you know, I'm hungry or I'm thirsty or I'm sleepy because last night I waited for the hurricane until 2 o'clock in the morning not to happen, you know. So you could be not worshiping right now or listening, and you know, well, that happens, yeah. But we need, you know, we should be responding. As our minds are transformed and our voices cry out, then our crowns come off. And there's a verse in the Bible that talks about that, right? That they bring their crowns and they lay them at his feet. You see, our crowns. Now, when you think of your crown being laid down, what is that? What do you think that we could take out of that? Is it just giving them... Maybe giving them, you see, a crown is a sign of authority, right? It may be a sign of wisdom. It may be a sign that over my head is all of this. Well, you know, put it down, because over your head there is nothing when you think except Jesus being the head, right? So you lay your crown aside and you lay it before him, because you're simply surrendering your mind, your authority, your wisdom in everything that you are. It's amazing. You lay your crown. Your knees start to bend. How many of you like to pray on your knees? I like praying on my knees, honestly. I have bad knees. I've had surgery on both of them. But that does not stop me. If I have to put a cushion or whatever I do, I like praying on my knees. It just helps me to have an attitude of humility. When we talk on bended knee, when we see the Bible and we talk about bending knees, we're talking about humility. That's worship. You see, bodies start falling down before his presence. People being prostrated on the ground because of the holiness of God and just worshiping him. We're talking about putting our bodies completely at his service as a living sacrifice. And you know, when all that happens, when you go through all these motions, your heart has nothing or no choice other than to surrender. And when we're talking about surrendering hearts, we're talking about loving God with all your heart, with your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. Giving him all. And guess what? Here's the definition that Dr. Steele gives worship. The obedient response to the revealed nature, character, and work of God. I'm going to give it to you again, because I know some of you want to write it, right? Now remember, give credit where credit is due. That's Dr. Steele's. It's the obedient response to the revealed nature, character, and work of God. Remember when we saw all of those verses there? We saw God's nature revealed. We saw God's character revealed. We saw God's work revealed. And in response, obediently, We just worship. We just worship. So think about it. If you could see Jesus right now, if you could see him face to face, in person, live, in color, right here, standing in front of you, what would you do? What do you think would happen? Would that be transforming? Would that be different? Wow, I'm pretty sure it would be. Most of us, hopefully, would probably just fall on our faces, right, before him. That would be nice. But you see, the creatures in heaven that see him every single day and night, like it said there, when they come before the Holy One, they fall on their faces and they cover themselves and they just simply adore him and praise him. And they respond, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." And then it makes me wonder. They're looking down and they're wishing that they could know what we know, as we know God through his Spirit, because of his salvation, because of the blood of Christ applied in us. And they're looking down. And I'm wondering if when the angels look down to us, he teaches us the truth in Scripture. And of course, Scripture, it is true anyway. But then our hearts come alive by what? Not by who? The Spirit of God that dwells in us. He's the one that fuels the fire in our hearts so that then we may utter praises from the heart. So, in order for your worship to be alive and to be a passion, a blaze, on fire, then our hearts need to be connected to the Holy Spirit. Because if we're not connected to him, then there's no electricity to power your worship. So we need to be connected. That's why it's worship in spirit. Now, I told you that I will not forget about the women in the room, right? Earlier, we talked about the boys. And we talked about a 10-year-old boy and his birthday party, which turned to not so happy birthday, right? But let me hit on something else. How about the women? Let's just think about this here. It's your anniversary. And you're hoping that that dodo bird you married don't forget. He better not forget. Oh, my God, if he forgets. Oh, my God. No, OMG. Yet, on your anniversary, your dear dodo bird shows up. And when he opens the door, you're like, and he says, "Happy anniversary, sweetie." He pulls out the flowers. And the look at Laura. Laura went, she's dreaming now. She's dreaming. He pulls out the flowers. Ed, get the hint. Write it down, Ed. Write it down. Okay. He pulls out the flowers. He pulls out the little jewelry box. And he's like, "Hold on 1 second. Here's your favorite chocolate, too. And get ready, because we're going out to dinner, honey." Right? I didn't hear anything coming from this side. I didn't hear anything. Wow, what an impression, right? And you're so happy. What do? Oh, my God. Your heart melts. And you're like, "That's my man." And you just grab the flowers and you plant a big one on his lip. Mwah! Love ya. You're so happy because he remembered. He's so special. And then your man says, "I mean, it's our anniversary. I have to." Oh, don't write that down, Ed, please. Don't write that down. Oh, my God. How would that feel, woman? How does that feel? Oh, you did it because you had to. And he'd be all flowered up, right? But you think about it. Let's be honest with each other. Because I know I have to be honest about this. There are times that when I stop worshiping or finish the worship, or I think, wow, did I do it out of duty or did I do it out of desire? Remember what Psalm 37 says, delight yourself in the Lord. Did I really delight or did I just perform the duties of a worshiper? See, God also delights when we come to Him like that, but not just out of duty, but out of love, because we've been touched, because we're responding to what He has revealed and what He's done for us in return of His great favor called salvation and His presence in our lives. And that should be because we've been touched by the Holy Spirit. If worship is to be done in truth, then it's either worship or hypocrisy. See, we talked about the worship in the Spirit now. How about the in truth? You see, it's got to be, it's either true worship or is it a true hypocrisy, if you think about it. Because having the Spirit of God in our lives does not guarantee that your worship will be in spirit and truth every time, right? But we have, when we and He makes us capable, and He intercedes for us to worship our God. So remember, even worship can be in vain, which would mean hypocrisy, or worship can be in spirit and in truth. And we respond to His truth. When we receive His truth, then we respond in worship to His truth. That's not in vain. That's the way to do it. So when you meditate upon the Word of God, which is His truth, when you understand its breadth, its length, its depth, its everything, then all of a sudden you will worship Him in spirit and in truth because you know that He loves you. So remember that God doesn't want anything but true worshipers. And last but not least, the more we worship Him, the more we become like Him. See, people become what they focus on, right? People become what they focus on. If you focus on Christ, then you'll be more like Christ. If you focus on something else, you'll be like something else. So therefore, we need to focus on Him and respond to Him. The more you worship, the more you'll be like Him. Think about it. Have you ever, how many of you as kids ever put a towel around your neck and tried flying? Girls, y'all didn't do that. But boys, how many boys did that? Wrap a towel around your neck and you went, superheroes. Who were you? Yeah, you. Who were you, bro? When you put that towel on your back, what were you? Bro, Superman. There you go. Superman? Oh, we got to get rid of one. We can only have one Superman, so I don't know how y'all are going to deal with that. But, dude, I was Batman. I put that cape on, man. I was Batman. I remember having my mom pull the towel around and put one of those baby diaper pins here so it wouldn't fall off. And my mom loved me so much. She put that thing right there because she wanted me to be Batman, right? My God, what was my mom thinking? Somebody should have called social services, right? But I jumped from every bed. I jumped from everything I could thinking I could what? Fly. Why? I pretended to be the hero that I admired. Wow, hold on one second. How about the youth nowadays? Let's go a little bit further. They admire some of the artists. So whatever they wear, even if it's down below their butt or if it's too tight and revealing. There you go, girls. We're getting to you. They admire someone. They admire an athlete, and they got to wear their number in their shirt. But don't you buy them a I Love Jesus shirt because they won't wear it. Now, a number 9, black and gold, yeah, they'll wear it, right? Holy, holy, holy. So you think about that. But now, have you ever read up on or know someone, a good Christian or a hero of the faith that you admire? Is there a character in the Bible that you go crazy about and say, I want to read more about Abraham? I want to read more about Joseph. I want to read more about Paul. Well, what the heck? Let's read more about Jesus. And you say, I wish I could have that faith. I wish I could be like that. I wish I could behave like that. I'm going to wear my shirt, spiritually speaking, because I want to be more like them. My focus on the world is going to make me more like the world. My focus on Jesus is going to make me more like Jesus. As a matter of fact, somebody wrote this, anonymous. I don't know who it was. Man worships his work. He works to play. And his play is his worship. What a mess. So I propose to you a challenge that we all start thinking more into disciplining ourselves in becoming a worshiper that worships in spirit and in truth. Let us pray.
Horeb Baptist Church, a church on the way to God's heart, presented a message for your life. If this message has been an impact to your life, or you would like more information of previous sermons and information about our church, contact us at www.horebnola.com.